Pilgrim Lessons, an exposition of Genesis chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, August the 29th, 2012.
It's one of those things that goes against the grain. It is contrary to most every instinct that comes natural to us. We want to be included. We want to be part of the group, part of the crowd. We don't want to be the standout. We don't want to be the oddball. We don't want to be the person on the outside. We want to be included. Even in today's culture where people strive to be individuals, they want to be an individual just like everybody else. It's okay to be different, provided you're different like everybody else is different. Even the loner wants to be accepted as the loner. It's just built into us. It's part of our DNA. We are created by God as social beings, and so we want to be part of a group. We want to be included with others. Because we are created in that way, because that's part of our makeup, it's difficult to live the pilgrim life. All of us, each of us who put our faith and trust in Christ, when we turned from our sin and trusted in Christ, at that moment, we were called to a different kind of life. We were called to the pilgrim life. Now, that doesn't mean that your wardrobe is limited. Doesn't mean that you can only wear black or brown or gray. You don't have to get one of those big hats and a big white collar. It means that you live as a pilgrim, that you live as a person who's out of step with the culture. And that's difficult because we like this place. It's difficult because we are at home here. We have a hymn that we sometimes sing. A pilgrim was I in a wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I'm on my way home. That's a nice hymn. The problem is it's backwards. Because the way it really works is that I was safe and secure in my home. I liked it. I was comfortable. And then God called me out of that and called me to a different kind of life. And that's when things really got difficult. That's when things got hard because I was called to leave the comfort and the security of what I had known, the comfort and security of the vast majority of the people around me, and then I was called to live as a stranger the rest of my days. A person not at home. A person uncomfortable and growing more and more uncomfortable with the world around me. I'm looking for a home. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's tough. That is not an easy thing to do. That's why I have problems with people who want to present the Christian life to someone in a witnessing context as if you'll just trust Jesus, everything will be okay. When you come to faith in Christ, you inherit a whole new set of problems as far as living in this world. Because if you take it seriously, and if you embrace the life that we're called to, and you determine that you're going to allow the Scripture to order your life, then you're going to be increasingly out of step with everybody in this world. You're going to be at odds with the culture. You're going to be at odds with the mindset and the worldview of the people around you. And it becomes an increasingly difficult life. It's also difficult because we get attached to the things of this world. It's easy to give ourselves to security and reputation and possessions and all those kinds of things, but to give our lives to those things is ultimately to waste our lives. Because if you live your life with the accumulation of stuff, and if you live your life in order to gain a reputation, you're living your life for that which will not last. It's amazing to me the number of people who sacrifice everything for the sake of gaining. Because think about it. Everything you have used to be somebody else's. And it's going to belong to somebody else when you're gone. So why would you want to spend your entire life building up what you're going to leave behind? We are called to a different kind of life. Most of us are pretty poor pilgrims. So we need a lesson in pilgriming. And so that's what I want us to do tonight as we look at Genesis 12, verses 4 through 9. We're going to look at Abraham as our teacher. He's our model, our example. Paul tells us that the Old Testament is written for our instruction. He makes it clear in writing to the church at Corinth, the Old Testament scripture is there for your benefit, so that you learn from their mistakes so that you don't repeat them, that you learn from their victories so you'll know better how to walk and how to live. So the Old Testament is for our benefit. That's why we're not New Testament believers. We're Bible believers. We have the Old and the New Testament. It's all part of God's revealed Word. It's all part of His Word to us. And so I understand those folks who love the New Testament. I understand those folks who love the words that are printed in red in their New Testament. But we are not just New Testament believers. God has spoken to us from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And the Old Testament has powerful and wonderful lessons for us. Abraham is a model for pilgriming. He's not a perfect man. He made mistakes. And some of those mistakes were great. Some of those mistakes were horrific kinds of mistakes. And yet, he is known as the friend of God. He is known because he had faith and confidence in God. And so he's referred to as the father of faith. In fact, listen to the way the writer of Hebrews describes him in Hebrews 11. By faith he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's his life that we're beginning to look at now. That time of living in tents, that time of living as a sojourner, as a foreigner in the land of promise. As we look at this passage tonight, I want us to understand that the call of God demands a pilgrim's life from those who are faithful. If we're going to be faithful to the call of God, we will live the pilgrim life. Let's look beginning in verse 4 down through verse 9 of Genesis chapter 12. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, and he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people he had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the side of Shechem, at the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your offspring. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to Yahweh there, and he called on the name of Yahweh. Then Abram journeyed by stages to the Negev. The beginning of the pilgrim life as God called him to leave your father, leave your family, leave your culture, leave everything you've known, and go head to the desert and keep going until I tell you you've arrived. That was God's call. That was a difficult thing for him to do at 75 years of age. He'd kind of been settled by that time. Life was secure. Life was good. He was well off. And God's telling him to leave everything that he's known and follow him. Now that's the call, not just for Abram. That's the call for every child of God. We are called to follow wherever he leads. We are called to do his bidding. And when he says go, we go. When he says settle down, we settle down. We are called to this pilgrim life. We are called to be a peculiar people, a people set apart, different, distinct from the people around us. That's the core, that's the essence of what holiness is. When you and I think of holiness, we think in terms of, well, here I don't do these things. I don't smoke and cuss and chew and go to movies and gamble, or I don't do any of that kind of stuff. And that's holiness. But at its essence, holiness means I'm set apart. I'm set apart for a purpose. In the Old Testament, there were certain articles and utensils that were used in the temple, and they were said to be holy. Here's a fork, and it's holy. Doesn't mean that there's anything unique about that fork other than it has been made and then set apart to be used in this one way. It's set apart for service. It's not the elements it's made of. It's not how it's made. It's not because there's something unique or magical about it. It is about its purpose. It's set apart for a certain thing. To be holy is to be set apart for the service of God, and that's God's call for each of us. It's not just for those who are biblical characters. It's not just for those who are called to lead and they have special positions or they're called into full-time Christian service or they've reached a certain level in this life. All the people of God are called to a peculiar life. We're all called to be set apart. We are to live differently from the world around us. In other words, we are to come out from among them and be separate. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. That's what the pilgrim life is all about. And I want us to consider three things to note about a pilgrim's life, the marks of a pilgrim. Let's start by recognizing that a pilgrim is not just a person who left home. Yeah, a pilgrim left home. He left something, but it's not just anyone who just leaves home for any particular person. A person just leaves home and does nothing else is not a pilgrim. We call them a drifter. If there's no purpose in their leaving, if they're not heading any way in particular, that's not a pilgrim life. That's a drifter. That's a person who's being irresponsible. That's a person who isn't taking seriously the responsibility given to them. A pilgrim is heading somewhere. And not just heading anywhere, they're heading somewhere specifically. There is a goal. They are moving to a certain point. As we find with Abram, he doesn't know where it is. He doesn't know what to call it. But he is heading for a specific place. God said, leave here. Head that direction, keep going till I tell you otherwise. So even though he couldn't define it, even though he didn't have a name to hang on it, he was heading to a specific place. Bunyan, in his classic Pilgrim's Progress, makes the case that there are three marks of the pilgrim. There are three things that set them off as someone who's different. A pilgrim dresses differently. A pilgrim's speech is different. And he has different values. I think those are all good and biblical analogies of what it means to live the pilgrim life. The dress is different. Now, that's not referring to a certain style of dress. It's not talking about whether they wear polo shirts or starch collars. It's not talking about dressing that way. Rather, Bunyan is talking about the pilgrim is one who's been clothed in Christ. A pilgrim is one who is in Christ. He has committed his heart and life to Christ. And the biblical analogy is he has taken off his old life and he has put on Christ. One of the things that sets us apart and marks us as pilgrims is that we're not trying to earn our salvation. We're not trusting in our goodness. We're not trusting in our obedience. We're trusting in Christ. We're trusting in His righteousness, and we are clothed in that righteousness. That's exactly what Abram did. We know that because the Scripture tells us, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So part of what we understand is, as this pilgrim life, is I'm clothed in Christ, and that sets me apart. That marks me as different from the world around me. It makes me different from the people who are around me. It isn't me, it's Christ in me. It is the presence of Christ and His righteousness that marks me different, that sets me apart. There's also this different talk. A pilgrim's talk is of Christ and of the things of God. So I'm not talking about, well, the pilgrim, he's clothed in Christ, and as a result of being clothed in Christ and being different, he always uses King James. And his talk is very different. No, it just means Christ is constantly on my tongue. Christ is constantly at the forefront, and the things of God are what I have an appetite for, and it's what I want to talk about. And I guarantee you, if that is true of you, it'll set you apart. It'll make you different in the culture in which we're living, especially today. There was a time in which talk of Christ would have been normal in conversation in American life. That's no longer the case. If you talk about the things of God and the glory of God and the things of God, they're going to look at you and scratch their head and they're going to say, boy, there's something wrong with him. Something wrong with her. The world doesn't understand the language, doesn't communicate in those ways, but one of the things that marks us is that our talk is different. That's also reflective of the third characteristic, different values. Something happens when you come to faith in Christ. What you once valued is not so valued anymore. And what you never cared for all of a sudden seems vitally important. There's a change. And you begin to develop the appetite for the things of God, and that becomes more and more important to you. See, this is one of the things that bothers me with the number of people that I meet who say without question, oh, I know that I'm a Christian. I know Jesus is my Savior. But they have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in the church or the life of the church or the well-being of the church or the progress of the gospel or their growing in their understanding of God or their growing in holiness. There's something wrong with saying, I love Christ. I just don't want to be like Him. Something wrong that says, I love Christ, I'm a believer, I just don't care for His wife at all. The church just doesn't interest me at all. There's a different value system that comes to the life of the pilgrim. So what I'm trying to get to is that at the beginning of this, understanding the pilgrim life, is it starts not just because you left home, but there is a fundamental change that comes. And that fundamental change makes me uncomfortable at home. See, it's not easy to leave everything that you've known. The only way we really do that is what we've always known isn't so comfortable anymore. And as I begin to grow and as God begins to move in me and my thinking begins to change and my values start to change, I'm not so comfortable anymore and I'm not too broken up about needing to move on. It becomes the kind of thing, I must move on. And that's the work of God in us. Certainly the case in Abraham's life. He went. He went as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him. He was 75 years old. He took his wife, his nephew, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people that they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan. He had left once before. He left Ur to go to Haran. The problem is, when he got to Haran, he settled in. Settled in a house. Began to build a life there. He didn't go all that far. He didn't keep going. He just began the journey. Then God came and called him a second time. And so he left Haran. This time, he leaves and he no longer desires to settle down. Read the rest of the story. He lived in tents the rest of his life, never really settling in. He was embracing the pilgrim life. Oh, he had possessions. He had a lot of possessions. But he possessed them. They did not possess him. His life had changed. And the change in his life led to a pilgrim life. He lived in various places, but he never planted himself anywhere. Now the question is, can the same be said of us? Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, if you've lived in your current house for more than 10 years, you need to think about moving on. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm talking more about an attitude. Are you just comfortable where you are? Are you just settled in where you are and you don't want anything to change? You don't want anything to challenge you. You don't want anything to pull you out of what you've established. And you've got everything in order and you got everything where you want it to be. The call of God regularly makes us uncomfortable. Because He says, you know, you seem a little too comfortable the way things are. I think it's time to move on. This is the life we're called to. Can you honestly sing, this world is not my home? I'm just passing through. Is that really the honest confession? Second, there's a paradox. Look at verses 6 and 7. Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the oak of Moreh at the time the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your offspring. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Other translations have it, the Lord appeared to him and said, give this land to yours for your possession. Take possession. Now wait a minute. How can you be a pilgrim and take possession of land? I thought the point was you're moving. The point is you're moving on. What do you think went through Abram's mind when God says, I'm giving this land to you and your descendants? I know what my reaction would have been. Well, that's pretty good, but why don't you notify these people? Because apparently they don't understand that. They seem to be settled here, and none of them seem like they want to move on. If this is my land, why are they here? Why don't they move out? Throughout Abraham's life, God reiterated that promise again and again and again. There were 8 specific times God came back and made this same promise. I will give this land to your descendants. He lived the rest of his days never possessing anything except that one place that he bought as a burial plot for his wife. Other than that, he never did possess any of the land. But God continually promised. There's not a conflict between our vision of a heavenly city and taking possession of the land in the name of Christ and the glory of our God. It's not a contradiction. We take possession by understanding the role that God has called us to for now. And we don't take possessions with weapons of man, carnal weapons. We take possession through spiritual means. And we do that through the proclamation of the gospel. We do that by being faithful to the call of God. And that's our last point. There is that paradox of be a pilgrim and yet possess. But that's solved in understanding the pilgrim's impact. Abraham entered the land. God spoke to him. And what did he do? He built an altar. God spoke. He built an altar. The way we take possession of the land is through the preaching of the Word of God and the ministry of the gospel. We tear down and we build up through the proclamation of God's truth. We are not called to win arguments. We are not called to persuade. We are called to preach. We are called to speak the truth, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to convince, to convict, and to win. In the preaching of the gospel, we possess the land for this life and for eternity. That's the whole point of Abram's building altars. Every time he moves to a new area, he builds an altar. He makes sacrifice and he worships God. And when he moves on, there's an altar left behind. It's the point of that. The point of that is, from then on, after Abram came through, there was a constant reminder, a child of God has been here. And an altar was built to the living God here. And there was the worship of the living God that took place here. And the truth is, Canaan and its landscape was never the same after Abram arrived. There was a constant testimony that the people of God had arrived. They didn't understand it. They didn't accept it. For the most part, they laughed and mocked. But it was a testimony. And that testimony would later become part of the judgment of God on the land. See, our problem is we have a narrow understanding. The problem is we have a short-sighted view. And I think it goes back to the fact that we haven't embraced the pilgrim life. I want to see the end of my journey. I don't mind being a pilgrim provided it's not permanent. Fine, let's go camping for a day. I don't want to live that life. I want to see the end of it. I want to experience it. God, you said the land is mine. I want to have it. Give me a title. Have it signed over to me. In reward for my faithfulness, I want to possess at least part of it. It's not the call. The call is to be on the journey. God will take care of things in His own time. And we may never see, and we may never hold what has been promised. I don't know about you, but I'm really impatient. And I feel like if something's promised to me and I don't get it pretty quick, something's wrong with the promise. Or something's wrong with the one who promised because they haven't been able to deliver. When we are transformed, when our values change, and when the things of God become preeminent, our understanding shifts. I don't understand. I don't understand how it's going to work out. I don't know why. I haven't already experienced it, but I'm going to trust God that ultimately everything's going to be where it's supposed to be. But it also comes when I understand, ultimately, I'm never going to have it here because that was never the point. You ever pray for somebody that they would get well and they didn't? And then we think, oh, never did get their healing. Oh, yes, they did. The child of God who dies is healed from everything. And that's the ultimate healing and the ultimate deliverance. It's having a different view. It's embracing the pilgrim life that says, I don't live for today. I don't live for tomorrow. I live for eternity as I live in faithful obedience to the call of my God on my life, when I understand and when I don't, when it's easy and when it's difficult. That's the life we are called to. We're to be pilgrims. But to be a pilgrim doesn't mean that I pass through the land and leave the land untouched. Like Abram, there needs to be reminders of everywhere I've been and that my life made a difference. Canaan was never exactly the same after Abram passed through. And I have to ask, can the same be said of me? It's not the same since he passed through. Things are different because he's been here. Left his mark. And the mark wasn't about him. What he left behind was a reminder of the glory of his God. That's the pilgrim life. So what do you think? You ready? You ready to embrace that life? It's the life we're called to. God has called you to the pilgrim life. May we be faithful in embracing that life.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.